CBSI in the world. I'm John Batchelor with Joseph Umar, the executive director of Secure Free Society. He's in the Washington area. We're discussing our New World Report. And the reason is that what we have here in Latin America and throughout the Caribbean and Central America are great resources for the future. The concern about the reliance upon China or the bad actor of China and conjoined with its ally, if it is, Russia, means that bringing production, supply chain, and development to the Western world is wise, but especially to the Western Hemisphere. That's us. So, Joseph, I turn to the matter of the trouble in the region. We have trouble everywhere in terms of governments, but that might be to do with their knitting together an axis of troublemaking. Haiti is a tragedy, has been for many decades, and right now we're given to understand their kidnappings, their gangs that dominate Port-au-Prince, the capital, and other cities. They've lived with earthquakes. They've lived with bad government. They've lived with political assassination. The concern is that Latin America turns its back or that the U.S. is inadequate. Is Haiti such a broken state, such a failed state, that no one in Latin America worries about it? I get the sense that the OAS, the only transnational organization I'm familiar with, and the IMF, the transnational organization that lends money to troubled countries, are all frustrated to the point of believing that there's no way forward. What is Haiti in conversation about all of South America, all of the Caribbean, all of the what we call the New World Report?
Well, John, I think Haiti absolutely is one of the countries that just can't seem to catch a break, especially this year. Historically, Haiti is one of the poorest countries, if not the poorest country in Latin America and the Caribbean. It is a concern to many of these multilaterals that you mentioned, including the Organization of American States, the OAS. But no one's been able to solve the Haitian riddle, if we call it like that, to be able to build or partner with Haiti to build a better economy and a more thriving democracy. But this year has been really bad. They've had, aside from the natural disasters, they've had the hurricanes. I think they had an earthquake. But they obviously had the what made international press, the assassination of their president a few months back. And now they have a group of missionaries that I think are primarily American that were kidnapped in Haiti, which is something that has gone under the radar. That particular aspect of kidnapping is something that many people don't realize, that Haiti has the highest per capita kidnapping in the world. And the Port-au-Prince is now seeing more kidnappings in absolute terms than bigger cities, much bigger cities such as Bogota or Mexico City or Sao Paulo, where you see that kind of activity. So Haiti's in a tremendous amount of crisis. And I think what it's now causing people to pay attention in the region, and more specifically the United States, is the immigration problem. You know, there's been more than 500,000 Haitians that have left the country since 2018, and that's caused initially problems for its neighbor, Dominican Republic, but now it's causing problems in Colombia, in Panama, on the Darien Gap, on our border. And so I think Haiti is definitely one of the countries that is now becoming more relevant as we have these discussions about the new world. But it's a combination of problems in Haiti. It's everything from political to economic to insecurity, organized crime, and these same geopolitical actors that we talk about in other cases. So Haiti's in a tough spot.
The tough spot doesn't have a remedy, but it does have the eyes of an organization you're very familiar with, and I am not, other than its acronym. It's called SOUTHCOM, and you send me news. SOUTHCOM is the U.S. military's eyes on the new world. Because of, and look at Caracas, look at Havana, look at Managua, good heavens, but Haiti's part of its writ. And the news is that SOUTHCOM has a change of command. You can help me understand what this means going forward, Joseph. U.S. Army Lieutenant General Laura Richardson, scheduled to assume duties as commander of U.S. Southern Command during a ceremony at the end of this month, retiring, is a man who served ably for a long time. His name is Fowler. General Fowler will retire after nearly four decades of military service, distinguished as a naval officer. He's not Army, he's Navy. Excuse me, Navy. Including various command and operational assignments aboard U.S. Navy aircraft carriers, destroyers, and cruisers. Joseph, what does SOUTHCOM mean for your work and for the people of Latin America? Does it concern itself with invasion from Eurasia, or does it concern itself with these network of problems that we've been talking about?
Well, Southcom has to concern itself with everything that happens in Latin America, both things related to natural disasters. In the case of Haiti, that's one of the last operations that Admiral Fowler has commanded as the commander of Southcom, is the humanitarian assistance to Haiti after the earthquake in the tropical storm. But they increasingly are now more concerned about these international trans-regional threat networks that are manifesting itself inside Latin America and building more capabilities and, by extension, more cases of conflict and chaos. I have to give Admiral Fowler a lot of credit. Admiral Craig Fowler perhaps has been, in recent years, the head of Southern Command, which is the combatant command of the United States Department of Defense. Basically, it's the Pentagon's eyes and ears in Latin America. And he has been perhaps the most poignant and realistic about the threat situation in Latin America. His posture statements that he gives annually before the Senate Armed Services Committee and the House Armed Services Committee are required reading for anybody that's interested in policy on Latin America. His last posture statement that he gave, I believe it was in February or March of this year, he essentially raises an alarm and he says, listen, folks, and he's talking to the policymakers, congressional members, if we don't double down and help our efforts in Latin America and our partners in the region, we may lose Latin America for a generation. And he made that clear in his testimony before Congress. And I think he did an outstanding job. He raised the game. He elevated people's awareness. He worked really strong with our partners and alliances at a tough time with the pandemic and the humanitarian crisis and the immigration crisis in Venezuela. He worked in a very tough time, but I think he improved our relations with many countries in Latin America. And I'm sad to see him go, but I'm excited to see the new commander, which is Lieutenant General Laura Richardson, who's not unfamiliar with the region. She was working at Northcom, which is the partner, the kind of the brother combatant command of Southcom that monitors North America, but that includes Mexico.
Joseph, you've been working a deal with organizations, media organizations that are concerned with Latin America and the threat to the region of bad actors. We could go through the long list, but we have mentioned a few of them today. Most recently, we were not able to meet in Washington when I traveled there because you were working with National Geographic on a special about the region. What is it that National Geographic, this isn't about tourist occasion, this is about the development of the region. What are their concerns?
So John, I would say that in essence, one, I don't want to call it a positive sign, because unfortunately I think a lot of times when people come to talk to me it's because they're concerned, and I'm in essence somewhat of a Dr. Doom because I talk to them about things that are not going well in Latin America when it comes to national security. But one of the things that National Geographic, and I've had interviews with other major outlets that are now looking at the immigration crisis, whether it's our border or Central America or Haiti or Venezuela, and they want to know what's actually, is there anything behind that? Is it just bad economic policies or high levels of insecurity, what these so-called root causes are? Or is there more geopolitical dimensions? Are there intelligence operations? I want to know more about that. And that's one of the things we specialize at, the Center for Secure Free Society. We've been working for almost 10 years now, specifically at looking at these external actors and making the case that what happens in Latin America, there's all these problems that are endemic to the region that have been around for decades, failing economies, weak institutions, lack of rule of law. But there are global powers that are capitalizing on this, which is why we're seeing a higher level of intensity of these asymmetric challenges. And that's what I talked about with them. And we're going to be putting out more content at SFS, particularly when it comes to videos, because as we know, not everybody wants to read a big policy report, but they want to see it. And I think we're going to start doing more of that in the very near future.
Our final 30 seconds, Joseph, then you would say that major media institutions are aware of the fact that there's trouble south of the border, south of our border, and that it needs to be addressed, and also the American people need to be informed. Is that what's going on, Joseph? We have 30 seconds.
Yes, John, I think that's absolutely what's going on, and I think the catalyst for that is two things. One, the largest mass migration in the Western Hemisphere and the second largest in the world of refugee outflows, which is the Venezuela crisis, and two, the 21-year high of mass migration at the U.S. border. And right. I think those are starting to ask more questions.
Joseph Umar, Executive Director, Secure Free Society. This is the New World Report. This is CBSI on the World. I'm John Batch.
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.